بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين، وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be explaining a new book known as Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, the Creed, written by Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, who was amongst the scholars of As-Salaf. According to some sayings, he was born in the year 227 after the immigration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and died in the year 321 after the immigration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he is classified as amongst the scholars of As-Salaf, the predecessors, those who lived in the first three centuries, the century of the companions, the century of the followers of the companions, and the century of the followers of the followers. Those who lived in the first 300 years after Hijrah are known as As-Salaf, the predecessors. Ahlul Sunnah, when we say Ahlul Sunnah, the people of As-Sunnah. As-Sunnah, he doesn't refer to performing the optional deeds like praying Sunnah or using the siwak. Rather, Ahlul Sunnah, meaning the people who follow the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So As-Sunnah in Arabic can mean as well the methodology of the Prophet, the way of the Prophet, meaning those who adhere to the creed and the rules the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to them. Ahlul Sunnah are the majority of this nation, the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the companions and those who followed them in their belief, in the basics of the belief. And those were mentioned in a hadith known as Hadith Jibreel. When Angel Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him about al-Iman, how to define al-Iman. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined al-Iman by six tenets of faith. Six tenets of faith. He said, al-Iman is to believe in Allah. That's the first tenet. Wa malaikatihi, the angels. That's the second tenet. Wa kutubihi, the revealed books. Wa rusulihi, the prophets and messengers. Wal yawm al akhir, the hereafter, the day of judgment. And to believe in al qadr, both good and evil from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the six tenets of faith. When we say Ahlul Sunnah, They are the majority of this nation. They are the companions and those who follow them in this belief. So they have the same belief as the companions regarding these six tenets of faith, these six tenets of al-Iman. They don't differ from them in belief. They have the same belief. They hold the same conviction in their heart regarding these six tenets. So they have the same belief about Allah, the same belief about the angels, the prophets and messengers, the revealed books, the Day of Judgment, and Al-Qadr. To believe that everything that happens in this world happens by the destiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best of all Muslims who hold this belief are those who lived in the first three centuries after Hijrah. We are talking in general. So when we talk in general, we say the best are those who lived in the first three centuries. And those are the ones meant by the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of the centuries are those of mine, meaning the Sahaba, the companions. This is the first century the Prophet is referring to, the first 100 years. Those companions who were with the Prophet. In general, we say the companions are better than the followers. Then the followers are better than the followers of the followers. You might find a person amongst the followers like Uwais al-Qarni. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about him, he is the best of all the followers. Uwais al-Qarni was a very, very righteous Muslim. He is better than some individuals amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we talk in broad, we say the companions are better than the followers. The followers are better than the followers of the followers. So these are three centuries. Every century is defined by 100 years. So we are talking about 300 years. And that's what has been authenticated by Al-Hafiz Ibn Asakir and others, that every century is 100 years. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to. Taking this into consideration, Imam al-Tahawi, who was born in the year 227 and died in the year 321, will be amongst a Salaf, those who lived in the first three centuries. Because most of his life was in the third century. Although he lived part of his life in the fourth century, but because he lived most of his life in the third century, he is classified amongst the people of As-Salaf, the predecessors. Also, they are the ones that are meant by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith, when he said, "Usikum bi ashabi, thumma alladhina yalunahum, thumma alladhina yalunahum," which means take heed of my companions, meaning adhere to the methodology, then those who come after them, then those who come after them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith as well, he is referring to the three centuries. Also in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam added, "Alaykum bil jama'ah," adhere to the majority of my nation. عليكم بالجماعة وإياكم والفرقة. Beware of sectarianism. Do not disunite. Do not follow these sects, the deviant sects. Rather, adhere to the methodology of the majority of this nation. Because as a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the majority of this nation will remain at all times and according to different eras on the right path. Alhamdulillah for this great endowment. So in every era, in every time, the majority of this nation will remain on the right path. You will find deviant sects, deviant groups every now and then, but the majority will remain on the right path. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ مَعَ الْوَاحِدِ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْإِثْنَيْنِ أَبْعَدِ. The devil will have a bigger influence on the individual than when there are two. So when there are two, the influence of the devil will be less. So when there are more, the influence will be again less and less. That's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant by it. Then he said, فَمَنْ أَرَادَ بُحْبُوحَةَ الْجَنَّةِ فَلْيَلْزَمِ الْجَمَاعَةِ. So the one who is looking for the enjoyments of paradise, let him adhere to the majority of this nation. So adhering to the majority of this nation, that's the secure path. That's the secure path that will secure for one the everlasting enjoyment in paradise, to adhere to the majority. This hadith was authenticated by Al-Imam Al-Hakim. At-Tirmidhi as well classified it as Hasan Sahih. That means it is an authenticated hadith. The other ones as well meant by Al-Jama'ah. When you say Al-Jama'ah, the majority, in the hadith narrated by Abu Dawood, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this nation will divide into 73 groups. 72 of them will be in hellfire, and one will be in paradise. Then the Prophet said, and this one is the majority, Al-Jama'ah. In another hadith, it was narrated that the people of paradise will make 120 lines or queues on the day of judgment, 80 of them from this nation. So 2/3 of the people of paradise are from this nation. So the majority of this nation are on the right path. Also, there is another hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I was given the option to choose either al-shafa'ah, the intercession, or that half of my nation will be admitted into paradise without torture. What do you think the Prophet chose? The Prophet said, I chose the intercession because it covers more people. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do you think it's for the pious ones? No. Those who are in need of the intercession are the major sinners, those who died while committing major sins and they did not repent. Those are in need of the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So from this hadith, we know as well that more than half of the nation will be in paradise. More than half of the nation will be in paradise. And to form more than half, definitely this is the majority of this nation. All these narrations I have reported to you, and there are other narrations as well in which the Prophet ﷺ used the term وَهِيَ السَّوَادُ الْأَعْظَمُ. In Arabic, when you say وَهِيَ السَّوَادُ الْأَعْظَمُ, that refers to the majority as well. There is another narration in which the Prophet ﷺ was asked about this group that will be in paradise, to which the Prophet ﷺ replied, مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي. مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي, meaning it's my methodology and the methodology of my companions. So those who adhere to the methodology of the Prophet and his companions are the majority of this nation, the mainstream Muslims, in other words. Those are the majority of this nation. So all these three narrations, whether the Prophet ﷺ mentioned as-sawad al-a'zam, or al-jama'ah, or ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, the meaning of them is one, which is the majority of this nation have the same belief, are on the same belief. So regarding the basics of the belief, the six tenets of faith we've mentioned earlier, the majority carry the same belief regarding these six tenets of faith. However, some people claimed, and this is a false claim, that they are the ones meant in the hadith, despite the fact that they are a minority. They are a minority. When the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith, according to the three narrations, that the majority of his nation will be in paradise, we know that if there is a group, a smaller group, minority, that claims to be the only one on the right path, while deeming the majority of this nation as blasphemers, they are definitely not on the right path. Because their saying and their claim goes against what the Prophet ﷺ indicated in the hadith. The Prophet made it very clear that it is the majority of this nation. Also, if you have the book called Al-Farq Bayn Al-Firaq, The Difference Between the Sects, authored by Imam Abu Mansur al-Baghdadi, at the beginning of his book, he mentioned these narrations as well, to show that the majority of this nation will remain on the right path. And alhamdulillah for this great endowment. There are other hadith as well that would support this as well. In one of the narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allah ajara ummat Muhammad min an tujmi'a ala dhalala." Meaning the majority of this nation will not agree on something that is false. So when you have the majority, adhere to the majority. Do not follow these deviant sects, even if they claim that although they are a minority, but they claim to be the saved sect in the hereafter. How could they be the saved sect and they are a minority? This is against what the Prophet ﷺ said. Now, Do not be overwhelmed by the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that this nation will split and divide into 73 groups. Then he said 72 will be in hellfire and one will be in paradise, because that one group that will be in paradise is the majority. And the number of the deviants, the followers of the other 72 groups, in comparison to the number of those who follow the majority of this nation that saved the group, is nothing. So although there are 72 groups, but all of them, if you put them all together and you compare their number to the majority of this nation, there will be nothing. So always, the majority of this nation are on the right path. And that's the great endowment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith from the root of Zayd ibn Thabit, one of the scribes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who used to write down the Quran, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ثلاث لا يغل عليهن قلب المؤمن إخلاص العمل لله ومناصحة ولاة الأمر ولزوم الجماعة فإن دعوتهم تحيط من وراءهم. Narrated by Abu Dawood and classified by Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajar as a Hasan hadith. So also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith is mentioning three traits that the believer should have and should follow to have the sincere intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey the Muslim rulers, and to adhere to the majority of Muslims. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to what? Adhering to the majority of this nation. So the minority cannot be the saved group in the hereafter, and that's what is mentioned, that is what is understood from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is strange is that those deviants, the followers of the minorities, want to back up the claim by saying, Allah Ta'ala said, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. So they use this verse out of context to say, Allah said, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Few are shakur. They want to claim that it means a few are believers. Allah did not say few are believers. What's shakur? Shakur, the one who excelled in thanking Allah Azza wa Jal, he performed all the obligations, avoided all the sins, and performed a lot of optional deeds until he became a righteous Muslim, Wali. We call him in Arabic. That's the righteous Muslim, Al-Wali. Yeah, those are few in this nation. You find many Muslims, but to find the righteous Muslims, Al-Awliya, there are few. And this is understood from another hadith narrated by Al-Bukhari, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "An-nasu كإبل مئة لا تكاد تجد فيها راحلة." الناس كإبل مئة لا تكاد تجد فيها راحلة. What a beautiful analogy from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you have 100 camels, it doesn't mean that they are all suitable for long travel. You can barely find one in every 100 camels that is suitable for long travel. The Prophet meant by this, you can barely find one who is pious in every 100 amongst people. So those who are pious, righteous are few. And that's what is meant by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Those who are righteous are few. But those who are on the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the majority of this nation. Then it happened after the 260 years from the immigration, the spread of the innovation of misguidance of a group called Al-Mu'tazila or Al-Qadariya. And the Prophet warned against them at his time. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لِكُلِّ أُمَّةٍ مَجُوسٍ وَمَجُوسُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ الْقَدَرِيَّةِ. Meaning in every nation there is a group that are majus, magi, those who worship the fire. And the magi of this nation are al-Qadariya, those who are called al-Mu'tazila as well. Why? Because al-Qadariya believed, which is blasphemous belief, that the slave creates his own actions. So when one performs a voluntary action, they say he's the one who created it. By saying this, they attributed a partner to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they committed a shirk. And even some of them would claim that God is the creator of good and Satan is the creator of evil. So they believed in two creators and two gods, walayyazu billah, and they associated partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those are similar to the Majus. The Majus, the fire worshippers, used to believe in two gods as well. So they are the same. They are the same. So the Prophet warned against this sect, Al-Mu'tazila. And other groups emerged as well after the 260, like Al-Mushabbiha, those who likened Allah to the creations. They started attributing bodily attributes to God by claiming that Allah has organs and body and the like. Those are called Al-Mushabbiha, Al-Mujassima. So after the 260 years, when these deviants emerged and they deviated from the mainstream, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported this religion and this nation with two renowned scholars known as Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari and Abu Mansur al-Maturidi, who were amongst the Salaf as well. One is Shafi'i, that's Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari. The other is Hanafi, Abu Mansur al-Maturidi. Those were like the flags for this nation, meaning very renowned, very famous. They upheld the methodology of the Prophet. They defended the creed of the Prophet and the companions. And they refuted the claims of the deviants like the Mu'tazila and Al-Mushabbiha and others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported them. They were very strong in establishing proofs to refute the claims of those deviants. Until the group of the Mu'tazila nearly vanished. To that extent, they became extinct because they refuted their claims, and the followers lessened and lessened and lessened until alhamdulillah now they no longer exist as a group, al-Mu'tazila, although you might find some people who hold the same conviction as the Mu'tazila at that time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported this religion with these two scholars, Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari and Abu Mansur al-Maturidi. One is Shafi'i, one is Hanafi. They were able to refute the claims of the Mu'tazila, the Mushabbiha, and other deviant groups as well, to an extent that if they were to identify the people of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they would say Al-Asha'ira Al-Maturidiyya. Al-Hafiz Murtada Al-Zabidi, in his book Ithaf As-Sad Al-Muttaqeen Bisharhi Ihya'i Ulum Al-Din, he wrote an explanation for the book Ihya'i Ulum Al-Din for Al-Imam Al-Ghazali. He explained it. In his book, he said, once the term Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is used, then what is meant by it is Al-Asha'ira and Al-Maturidiyya. The followers of Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari and the followers of Imam Abu Mansur al-Maturidi. Because they were the famous ones. All the Muslims were behind them at that time. So they are the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aided this nation with, and they were able to refute the claims of the Mu'tazila, the Mushabbiha, and others. They clarified the aqidah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the aqidah that the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, held as a conviction in their hearts, and those who followed them, and they even sorted out the proofs to support this creed from the Quran and the Sunnah and the logic proof that would support the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Although the Mu'tazila, the one that we mentioned right now about them, split after that into 20 sects as well. But Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari and Abu Mansur al-Maturidi were able to provide Muslims with the proofs from the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and the logic proofs to refute the claims of the 20 groups. They have done a fabulous effort at that time to establish all these proofs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported them. Even Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, it was said that he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, I want you to refute the claims of those Mu'tazila. And he said, O Messenger of Allah, I don't have enough proofs to refute their claims. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, refute their claims and I'm with you. He became well known by his strong proofs to refute the claims of those Mu'tazila and other deviant groups. Now, some people might say to you, but there is a difference between Al-Asha'ira and Al-Maturidiyya. We tell them, yes, there is a difference. However, it's not in the basics of the belief. It's not in the basics of the belief. In regards to the basics of the belief, they have the same belief. The correct belief in Allah and His Messenger. In these six tenets of faith, they carry the same belief. But in certain matters, minor issues, they have differences that would not affect one to an extent that will take him out of Islam. No. So they are the majority of this nation, despite these minor differences. You know how you find now differences between Shafi'i and Hanafi in certain matters. For instance, if someone was on wudu, then he touched the skin of his wife. Does this invalidate his wudu? Shafi'i said yes. Imam Abu Hanifa said no. This is a difference, but not in the basics of the belief. So even Al-Asha'ira and Al-Maturidiyya held some differences in some matters, not in the basics of the belief, in some details in the creed, but not in a way that take one out of Islam. We'll give you an example. Such a disagreement happened amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, although the companions of the Prophet are on the right path and they are part of this saved group, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. Some companions said that during the night of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not see Allah by his heart. They said this didn't happen. Amongst them were Aisha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Ibn Mas'ud, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. They said the Prophet didn't see Allah by his heart during the night of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. However, Abdullah ibn Abbas said he saw his Lord by his heart twice during that night. And this is how he interpreted, وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled the Prophet to see him by his heart. So the Prophet saw Allah by his heart twice during that night. That's why Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said. Also, his companions from the followers, also Abu Zar al-Ghifari, even Anas ibn Malik said this. So that difference does not affect one's belief. Some said Allah enabled him to see him during that night by his heart. Others said, no, this didn't take place. So others, some confirmed, some denied. In this matter, this does not affect one's belief. But when you are talking about the major disagreement between Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the deviant groups in matters such as, is Allah the only creator or there are other creators with God? Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah says that Allah is the only creator. And that's the meaning of La ilaha illallah. There is no creator but Allah. But the Mu'tazila didn't say this. The Mu'tazila said every single human being is a creator. So they associated partners with Allah. This type of difference between Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and the Mu'tazila is in the essentials of the belief. In the core belief of Muslims, we believe that Allah is the only creator. The Mu'tazila don't believe in this. So that makes the Mu'tazila not part of the saved group, because they don't have the same belief as Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the majority of this nation. And the strongest proof about this is that they have become what? Extinct now. They no longer exist. And the nation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is still existent. What does that prove to you? That they are not in the saved group. Because this nation is continuing to exist. It never ceased to exist at any time. Rather, it's still existent up to now. But the Mu'tazila are no longer existent. So that shows that the Mu'tazila were amongst the deviant groups that deviated from the mainstream Muslims, and they believed false beliefs that identified them as deviant groups. So, for that reason, the scholars of Islam put forth effort to make sure that the Muslims of this nation keep the correct belief in their hearts, the belief that will save them in the hereafter. And they wrote books about al-aqidah, the creed, to make sure that Muslims would adhere to this belief, which is the belief of the majority of this nation. For that reason, Imam Abu Hanifa, may Allah raise his rank, called this part of knowledge, the knowledge about at-tawheed, the creed. He called this al-fiqh al-akbar. That's the greatest type of knowledge. That's al-fiqh al-akbar, the greatest type of fiqh. So before you learn about purification, before you learn about prayer, about zakah, about fasting, you learn about the creed. The creed, the aqidah, to make sure that your belief is in accordance to the belief of the Prophet, the companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers. And for that reason, the scholars even wrote books to refute the false beliefs of the deviant groups like the Mu'tazila and Al-Karramiyya, those who liken Allah to his creations. Even Imam Abu Hanifa radiyallahu anhu wrote 5 books in this science of religion. 5 books. Al-Fiqh al-Akbar, Al-Fiqh al-Absat, Al-Alim wal-Muta'allim, Al-Risala, and Al-Wasiyya. These 5 books he wrote defending the creed of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah and refuting the claim of those deviants. Even Al-Imam Abu Mansur al-Baghdadi, who was Ash'ari as well, he wrote a book called Al-Farq Bayn Al-Firaq, The Difference Between the Sects. He mentioned at the beginning the hadith of the Prophet. Then he started naming every group and the false beliefs they believe in. Towards the end, he specified a chapter about the belief of Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. So this is our belief as Ahl-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. And what he has mentioned before, the false beliefs of the deviants. This is not called gossip, as some ignorant people might think. If they hear you warning against someone who is preaching false beliefs, they say to you, don't talk about Muslims. This is gossip. This is not gossip. This is to defend the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah and make sure that Muslim is well protected. As for instance, imagine there is a person who cheats people in food. He claims to be selling halal meat when in fact he sells them cat meat. And you know about him. Then a friend of yours approached you by saying, I want to go to this butcher, grab some meat, take him to my wife so she can cook. You leave him or you warn him? You warn him. Imagine you remain silent. Then after a while, your friend approaches you by saying, guess what? I've discovered that that butcher sells cat meat instead of halal meat. Then you tell him, yeah, I've known this before. Then he's gonna say to you, you betrayed me. You did not give me the obligatory advice. Why didn't you warn me so I would stay away from him? He's not gonna say to you, yeah, you did not gossip him. Good boy. He's not gonna say that to you. He's gonna blame you for not warning him against that one who is cheating people, selling them non-halal meat, claiming that this is halal meat. This is in products, selling, buying. What about the one who cheats people in their religion? Who gives them false information, false interpretations about the Quran, about the hadith of the Prophet? Isn't warning against him is a priority? Yes, it is. Because if that one ate cat meat, but he preserved his correct belief in Allah and his messenger until he died, he would die as Muslim. But the one who follows the deviant sects and they believe a blasphemous belief, he will turn out of Islam. And consequently, if he dies in that state, he will be in hellfire forever. Which is more dangerous? This one is more dangerous. So it is our responsibility to warn against the deviant groups. When Imam Abu Mansur al-Baghdadi authored this book, Al-Farq Bayn al-Firaq, that was to warn Muslims. When Imam al-Shahrastani authored the book Al-Milal wa-Nihal, which means the groups and sects, he authored it to warn people against the deviant groups. This is not classified as forbidden gossip, as some people might claim. In fact, it's because many religious leaders stopped warning against those deviants, they became stronger, they became widespread all over the world. And look now what's happening around the world under the name of Islam. Muslims are getting killed under the name of Islam. Innocent people are getting butchered under the name of Islam. Bombs are set in marketplaces, in universities, in train stations, and the like. Women, children, elderly are getting killed under the name of Islam. Those people have become strong because unfortunately many religious leaders did not fulfill that responsibility to warn against those who cheat people in their religion. At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was asked about two people. And the Prophet said, this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, I don't think so and so, and he named them, know anything about our religion. He said, I don't think that so and so know anything about our religion. So he warned against them at his time. So it's not a forbidden gossip to talk about someone. Unfortunately, at this time, you find people, if they hear you warning against the deviants, they don't like it. But if they deal with someone and they lose a dollar, and they know that you have a previous knowledge that this person cheats, and you did not warn them against him, they make a big issue. They lost a dollar. Unfortunately, we reach this time where the last thing people might think of is how to preserve their religion. Although this is the most important thing. If you leave this world having the correct belief in Allah and His Messenger, you have won everything. Even if you didn't get anything from these worldly pleasures, as if you have gained everything. But if you leave this world on the false belief, even if you were rich in this life, even if you enjoyed the pleasures of this life, as if you haven't got anything in this life. That's the most important thing. For that reason, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, radiyallahu anhu, who was amongst the Salaf, authored a book. Lately, it became known as Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, the creed of Imam al-Tahawi. In this book, he mentioned at the beginning, and we are going to explain inshallah, that this is the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. In the way the expressions were written by Imam Abu Hanifa radiallahu anhu and his two companions, Abu Yusuf al-Qadi and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani. So he wrote this book. This book became very famous. The whole nation accepted this book, and the scholars started making explanations for this book, and they made many explanations, different scholars. You will find that they have written about this book and they explained that book. Insha'Allah ta'ala, this is our introduction for this book. We will carry on the explanation of this whole book, insha'Allah ta'ala. If you learn this belief, you will preserve your religion at this time. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast on the path of the Prophet, the companions, the followers, and the followers of the followers. We ask Allah to gather us with the Prophet in the highest levels of paradise. Ameen. And Allah knows best. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa ahkam. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.